Good morning.
Good morning.
The K-12 Education Policy and Oversight Committee of the 86th session of the Minnesota House of Representatives will come to order. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. As many of you probably already figured out on your way in, there's some treats at the front of the room. Please feel free to dig in and enjoy. And of course, I'm sure that all the first-term legislators have been already primed in terms of the venerable tradition of the House, where first-termers take turns providing a full breakfast for senior members. Representative Murdoch is nodding his head. Yes, I've been told that. What's your favorite Representative Murdoch?
Yeah, I really
like it. Welcome aboard, everyone. Today's meeting is a orientation meeting, basically an introductory meeting. We will not be conducting any legislative business per se. But hopefully we'll take this opportunity to get to know one another, share a little bit about our district, and hopefully you all got my email a day or two ago about coming prepared to share your top priorities in terms of what you hope to address and accomplish as a member of this committee in this coming session. And so we'll go around the table sharing that with one another. We're going to review a little bit our committee procedures, so I'll share a little bit with you how I intend to proceed throughout the session and share with you some of my goals and some of the things that I hope that we'll be able to effectively address. Let me begin then by just doing some introductions. What I want to do is to have members go around the table, introduce themselves, talk a little bit about your district, tell us the school district that you represent, and then also share with us, with one another, your hopes for issues that you hope to be able to address this year in this committee. But before we do that, I'm going to do something a little bit strange. I'm going to ask our staff to introduce themselves first, including our page, so get ready. And if our staff can just tell us who they are, more importantly, where we can find them, and then anything else that they would care to share in terms of their interest in K-12 education and in this committee. And I'm going to start with our nonpartisan staff, and Ms. Larson is probably used to this because I usually just sort of come out of the blue asking her for things, so I'm going to ask Ms. Larson to be first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lisa Larson. I work for House Research. I serve as committee counsel, and our office is on the sixth floor of this office building.
And for the new members, and I'm sure the present members agree, Ms. Larson is an incredible, valuable resource to this institution. Please do take advantage of her knowledge and expertise. Our other nonpartisan staff is our Paige. It's good to see you again. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you've been up to? And
my name is Paige, which is my second year at the Capitol IT.
It's great to have you back, Emily, and we have another page, too. I'm going to have her stand up and introduce herself. The pressure's on.
It sure is.
That's indeed.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Welcome. And members, our pages are terrific. If during the course of our committee hearings you need anything, just sort of wave, make eye contact, and they'll They're here to help us be really good at our work. So please do take advantage of their services. We'll do our caucus staff, and I'm looking at one of our best staffers here in the house, Carmen. If you can introduce yourself.
I'm Carmen Tiger. I work for Republican Caucus Research, and I'm actually in room 220.
Carmen, it's been great working with you over the years. You're a consummate pro, and I'm looking forward to working with you again. And I think Brad is somewhere here. My good friend Brad.
Brad Kelly,
I'm
on the fourth floor.
Wonderful. Welcome back, Brad. And then our direct committee staff, I'll start with you, Phyllis.
Hi, my name is Phyllis, and I am the director of the committee, and I'm working with the Republican Caucus Research Group, and I'm also the director.
Don't hold that against her that she's right outside my office. She is approachable. Christina.
I'm Christina Gossett, the committee administrator, and I'm in 572 of the state office.
And one of the best committee administrators here in the House, if I might say. Do we have any other House staff here? Yes.
My name is Chris Bourbon. I'm a writer with House
Information.
I'm brand new. I'm really thrilled.
Welcome, Chris. For some of the first-termers, House Information is actually historically been kind of one of the cutting edge services in state legislatures across the country. Other states have caught up with us now, but we led the way. And in fact, I think a good decade ago, back when I first started, we were actually winning awards for some groundbreaking work in terms of informing the public, making it easy for citizens to access information here at the legislature. So it's good to have you, Chris, continuing that proud tradition here in House Information. Any other staff? Okay. Let's do the round the table sharing with one another. And because he's such a pro, I'm going to start with my good friend Jim Abler.
Thanks. Nice to be back. I've been on this committee for 10 years, which is interesting. We're supposed to mention something about what we hope we do. I hope we don't make it any harder for our districts. I was chatting with one of my board members last night, and they're all for standards and accountability and all that, but they're drowning. Every change we make makes in the textbook, which is another couple of $1 million for our district, and money's going to be lean, and I'm one for me, I'd wrap my arms around K-12 and say you're not going to cut this, which is one of my themes I'm going to be working on this year with people. In this very challenging time, but I hope as we do the policy work that we consider, great ideas, but also maybe just let them catch up to some of our good work. Thanks.
It's just a little clarification, standards in terms of issues that get in the way of the.
Every time we add a standard, then change their curriculum, and they have to. And Anoka, for instance, Minnesota's largest school district. Did you know that, Carl? You heard that one too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're quite a cost just to add one new element to the curriculum. But they're all for that.
And we certainly struggled with that over the last couple of years with a couple of possible standards.
From the profile to the, everything. Thanks.
Indeed. Well, welcome, Jim. So. Good morning.
My name is Connie Deppe, freshman this year, and I'm from the Lake Minnetonka area. I have 11 towns all around Lake Minnetonka. I'm the new John Burns, who many of you knew, and Barb Sikora held this seat for about 12 years before that. I have three school districts, Minnetonka School District, Orono School District, and the Wayzata School District. I have a strong background in education, and I told Chairman Mariani that I was thrilled to be appointed to this committee. I've spent 8 years on the Wayzata School Board, and I've worked for the last 9 years with the Twin Rivers Chamber of Commerce on their business education partnerships and helped them develop their education initiatives for the legislature. My school districts, and I've talked to all of them extensively over the summer and recently as we go into this budget crisis. My folks are all about local control. They They do not resent the standards. Feel very it's a mixed bag. They feel that the profile and the actually Nickleby has in many ways surfaced a problem that they're very grateful that they're aware of, and they're anxious to do whatever they can to close that gap. The things that obviously they're hoping that we can accomplish is giving them a little bit more local control freedom in terms of the funding that they have. We've talked about the categoricals. They would love us to take a look at that and see if we can do a temporary moratorium on the categoricals so they can use the money that they have in this budget crisis. They're very anxious to see some of the levy caps lifted so that they can go to their constituents and see if they can't have more money if they need it during these times of crisis. Obviously, and Mr. Benson, Representative Benson would probably, I know he supports this, the market cost equity is very important to my constituents and has been for many years, and I have worked towards that myself. And then they would like us to review the unfunded mandates, as Representative Avler referred to that. And that's important to them. They love CoupComp is the last thing. That's a program that my schools have embraced. It's working. The teachers love it. And that's something that they would like to continue. So that's, hope I didn't take too long.
Not
but
at all.
Those are things that are very important to me.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing those.
No problem.
With it.
And it's an honor to be here. I just want you to know. Thrilling on Tuesday. And it was wonderful to see all of you and hear those of you who spoke. So thank you for having me be here.
We won't hold the fact that you know John Benson well. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Keith Downey. I'm from District 41A. That is essentially the boundary of Edina, although I do have a chunk of the Hopkins School District in my district as well. So I represent both Edina and Hopkins from a school district standpoint. And I, too, am extremely pleased to be on this committee. I kind of oversigned up on education committees when I put forward my list, and lo and behold, I got all of them. So it's great. My father was a school teacher, and I grew up kind of being raised by that teacher community. And actually, my dad taught with Representative Benson when he was teaching in Edina as well. So that's a nice connection here, too. I would actually echo pretty much everything Connie said rather than just repeat it. I think there's a sense in my school district that there isn't a resentment of standards. I don't even think, frankly, there's a resentment of No Child Left Behind, or at least the concept of being able to track per pupil performance over time. Mm-hmm. I think there is a sense that at too many times it comes with a hammer, maybe too many sticks and not enough carrots, and that if we just empowered our local school board and our local administration and staff to use the data that they're now accumulating and give them the flexibility and empowerment to improve what they're doing in the local schools, that is really the key. We do have data now that we can look at, and we should let them now use that to improve on their own. So I'm going to be more of a local control, less onerous constraints from the state government level kind of person here in the committee, and I too am just very honored and thrilled to be around the table with you folks. So thanks.
Welcome. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jennifer Loon from Eden Prairie, District 42B. My district is all contained within the city of Eden Prairie, and we have one school district, so I guess I have an easier job perhaps than some that have numerous. I'm very excited to be on this committee. It was one of my first choices, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be here. I've been very active in the school district in Eden Prairie. I've got two children of my own in our public school there, and I was chair of a parent-teacher curriculum advisory committee for the district as part of my volunteerism just as a parent, and also president of our local of our elementary school's PTO. So it's just something I've been very active in as a parent, and now hopefully have an opportunity to have some impact as a legislator as well. I think many of the sentiments and points have been raised, I think would also be echoed in Eden Prairie and some of their concerns. The achievement gap is something we're working very hard on at Eden Prairie Public Schools. We do have a growing diverse student population in Eden Prairie, and they're working hard and trying to make sure that every student is learning and meeting the standards and looking at some innovative ways to try to grapple with some of those problems. One thing that hasn't been raised, and I'll just mention that some of my school board members have talked to me about, is some issues with testing. And we've got, I don't know what the term is for the test now, but the ones that the kids take for graduation, if it's MCA2s and that, where some kids are not passing it, but they're being accepted into college. And so without passing it, they're not able to graduate. And where the disconnect lies, I'm not certain whether it's with standards for college entrance. It seems to be centered around math and some of the math standards within that. So I would hope our committee would look at some issues along that line and see if there's some correction perhaps needed or some adjustments. And the other would be our district also does NWEA testing for students. Kind of a good measure for growth. I think it's good to see where students are individually in terms of their individual growth and their educational performance. But that test, as I understand it, is only good through eighth grade, and some of our fifth graders have already kind of topped out, and so there's nothing that really measures their growth beyond what that test measures. So those are just a couple of things I would throw out for the committee's consideration. And again, I'm really looking forward to what I think will be a very interesting and fulfilling session.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Murdoch. I'm District 10B in northern Minnesota. The seat that Dean Simpson stepped down from and talked me into running for him. And I won the doggone thing. But anyway, I have seven school districts that I called on up there, and which is quite a few. But the administrators I talked to, superintendents, their concerns are, of course, you know, the cuts. You know, making sure the money's still there. I'm not in favor of cutting teachers and programs. They all agreed that the savings have to come from the administration end, food service, busing, rural, you know, a regional administrators, and that's what I got from them. My background, everybody so far has been on education school boards, and they know Representative Benson, so I'm kind of out on that one a bit. Oh, that's, sorry, you didn't know him. But anyway, my wife and I have a retail hardware store in Perham, so I come from a business background. Please don't look at my grades in college, because they were bad the first year. Then I met my wife and I improved my grades. But a business background, common sense, a love of education, and I'm proud to be on this committee and work with you folks. And a lot of work to get done, but we'll get through this.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you.
And my good friend, good to see you again.
Nice to be back. Bud Dornis representing District 10A, which is the other half of Otterfield County. So Mark and myself handle over 1,000 lakes and some real estate. Representing a lot of school districts, I have four. I'm proud of all of them. They're doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put in a plug for the Fergus Falls band, if I can. If you haven't heard, they're going to the inaugural parade.
Congratulations. Mm.
And one of there were 14 were 1,400 applications.
Wow.
So that's pretty neat when you get selected. Not only do they march and do they play, but they also sing. So it's quite unique. And so look for them on... Most of you would be watching on TV, I presume. Mm-hmm. Some may be there. I don't know. Some of the lucky ones. No. So that was something that I think is special. Anyway, I also have a granddaughter that's part of the band. So,
wow.
As far as issues go, years ago when open enrollment came on the scene, there are still some problems with that the local school districts struggle with. the legislature some years ago allowed school boards or schools to crisscross school buses and routes and go into each other's districts. And in rural Minnesota, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense today. When you have three or four buses traveling on the same road, picking up just a couple of kids. So, I don't know if that's something this committee, I think this committee probably okayed that in the first place. I'm not sure what the fix is, because in some cases the small school districts are surviving because they're able to find a few extra kids someplace. So it's a problem that's there. I'm not sure what the solution is. But with the $4 fuel that the buses were running on, it made more sense to look at it, because it would be a money-saving issue. I don't have the solution, but I know the problem. So I just wanted to throw that out. Another one has to do with levy referendums. And again, that may be more of a finance issue than policy. But the bar to have a referendum to overturn an excess levy referendum vote maybe needs to be raised a little bit. Mark and I share a school district that struggled, I believe, five times to pass a levy, excess levy referendum, and finally got it done. And that tears the community apart in the first place. Then there was an effort made to overturn the levy, and that continues to tear the community apart. That didn't happen, but they came very close. So I think it's something that needs to be looked at. And again, those things aren't healthy for communities. So it's too bad we even have to have the levy in the first place. But, you know, those are the things that I hear most often from my school districts. Just, you know, fix those little things. So I think that's about it. If I'm not mistaken, I've been on this committee all 12 years that I've been here. And I come from a school board background, like many of you, where I wasn't a teacher, but I had a lot of them in the family. So if one way or another, you know, we've been involved. My sister is retiring next spring, so I will not have any teachers in my family anymore. They're all retired. So, but I have grandkids. So I will have 10 of them by June. So.
Wow. Well, welcome back, Mr. Senator Dornis.
Good to be here.
For members, particularly for new members who may not know, Mr. Dornis was our, 2 years back, the chair of our higher ed division, and I had the privilege of serving with you on that committee, and we did some good work at that time, too. So look forward to working with you
guys. I want to just add one more thing. I've been very fortunate because I also serve in early childhood with Representative Slawick, and still serve on higher education. So I think if there's a senior citizens committee, that's the only thing I'm missing.
We'll have to start that caucus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Everybody, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Denise Dietrich. I represent House District 47A, which includes all of Champlin and a portion of Coon Rapids. I am very fortunate that I only represent one school district, and that is the Anoka-Hennepin School District. And for those of you who don't know yet, that is the largest school district in the state.
Oh, yeah.
You already said that? It doesn't hurt to mention it again, Jim. They might have forgotten, yes. My experience in education started with becoming a teacher, then becoming a very involved parent in my own school district and studying education finance through a parent's eyes, and then spending 7 years on the Anoka-Hennepin School Board, and then coming to the state legislature in 2005. And I have had the honor of serving on this committee and as the vice chair for the past 2 years, and it's it has been a true pleasure working with you, Mr. Chairman. And I know you probably moved the time back just for me, thinking I might be on time now, but surprise.
We both need that help.
I know. We were a bad match. And that was that respect. But anyhow, as far as issues that I would like this committee to address, there are a lot of little things that we think of as far as reducing mandates and categoricals and that type of stuff to make to provide more flexibility at the local level. but I do have one overarching goal, and it is so related to the current financial condition we find ourselves in as a state. And my overarching goal is to prepare all children in the state for a post-secondary degree in of some sort. And that is somewhat of the lens that I will be that I use to look at the policy and the policy that we approve, implement, whatever we are debating, is it furthering that goal? Because we cannot afford to have kids dropping out of school. We cannot afford to have kids not prepared for some sort of post-secondary degree. And I think that is just crucial. And so, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's good to work, be able to work with you again, Representative Dietrich. You did some really good work the last couple of years together. All right, why don't we start with Representative Swales. And by the way, members, you know, we did do a signed seating, and I will confess, this has more to do with the chair's inability to remember people's names. And so it's like, well, I know where you're at, and Representative Norris, remember last year the incredible trouble I got into with Representative Erdo and Wardlaw, where I came up with every possible configuration of mixing the synonyms in there, or rather the, not the synonyms, the syllables in their names. And so I'm trying to spare myself that embarrassment. It does feel a little bit crowded over here, so feel free, members, and future meetings to avail yourself of much more comfortable seating. So, Representative Swales.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Martha Swales. I represent the community of Woodbury and also a tiny community named Landfall, which is on the I-94 corridor.
You have Landfall.
Yes, I love Landfall. I primarily represent School District 833, which is South Washington County Schools. I have a smidgen of Stillwater Schools and a smidgen of North St. Paul Maplewood. I am a classroom teacher. My last day of teaching was on Monday. I collected 100 research papers the day before holiday break, graded them over the holiday, and returned them on Monday. So I'm straight out of the trenches. I am an AP English teacher, have been trained both in language and composition and literature composition. I've gone to 5 AP institutes now, both at Carleton College and at Augsburg. And with that background and believing in gifted and talented young people, which I've had the privilege of teaching for so many years, I realized that rigor in the classroom is something that we are expecting on a lot of levels now. I'm not a big fan of No Child Left Behind, but I will have to say that through that lens, I think teachers have become more accountable for what's going on in their classrooms. I do believe that we now hold our teachers to a higher level of accountability for test scores and for providing instruction to our children and youth so that they are getting more creative problem solving, more analytical thinking, and trying to provide that preparation for the workforce that we don't even really know what it's going to look like in the next 10 years. And so I think providing students with these skills are paramount to creating an economic powerhouse that Minnesota has been known to be. One of the most meaningful experiences that I've had so far as a member of this committee and Representative Greiling's committee was the opportunity to travel to Little Rock, Arkansas 2 years ago with Representative Dietrich. We had a lovely time there. And we went, it was the fall of 2007, exactly 50 years from the time that the Little Rock 9 integrated that high school. And America faced a huge paradigm shift in 1957 by integrating our schools racially. And I was struck when I walked through the halls of Little Rock Central to see that over half of the student body is now minority, that over half of the faculty is minority, and half of the students have taken AP courses. And it's because the state of Arkansas took itself from the bottom of the nation in terms of student performance and have now moved them into the top third because they have invested in teacher training, providing teachers academic rigor, academic strategies to help children grow. And I am committed to doing that here. I have provided some legislation for a P20 partnership. I believe that that is the first step in getting all of our levels of education talking at the same table. I believe that legislators need to be at that table as well. And I also am a big, big fan of accountability. I think last year Representative Reinert's bill to re-examine the standards and how the student achievement is measured, I think, was right on the money. And we need to keep pushing for those kinds of expectations of our teachers and of our students.
Thank you. I, too, look forward to working with you again. You did some great work last couple of years as a first-termer, and you did some pretty close to landmark legislation in regards to gifted and talented resources. So thank you for your leadership on that. Mm-hmm. Representative Peterson.
Well, good morning, everyone. has anybody read the Capitol and Ledger or whatever? You get a pretty good idea that my whole life has been consumed with education. From the time I started in a little country school and became a teacher's helper till I decided that I was, and every teacher, by the way, you need to be a teacher. So there must have been some early indication that was where I needed to be. And was a teacher in the Robinson School District in Chicago and in Mountain View. And I taught elementary, secondary English, learning disabilities at the secondary level, as well as mostly disordered students. And left there in 1987 to represent teachers at a state level. And so I've been, and so I ran for the legislature. So my whole life has been revolved around education and the needs of students and teachers. And I'm certainly delighted to be here to say that Robbinsville finally passed the referendum. They missed their first one because they had the man from Iowa come in and do all of the negative kinds of persuasion to vote against the referendum. But the second time we had a wonderful community group who took charge and really worked to get that referendum passed. And Osseo is the other district I represent a part of that. And they didn't do quite as well on their referendum, but seem to have a few more resources. We're like many districts, we are stable in our enrollment, but we've lost enrollment, and many districts are facing that same issue. So we're now, in addition to having passed the referendum, facing the closing of at least two, maybe three schools. And that is done after an extensive study that says that we can't afford to keep empty buildings open. And we need to do that analysis of what's really needed in school districts and to be able to afford the kind of programs that will really make a difference for our students. We're first in suburbs, the diversity is changing, and we're encountering needs of students that some of our teachers have not encountered before, or certainly not in those numbers. And so we do need to deal with the achievement gap because we need to have all students ready to graduate, and that's a big order. I think that my goal will be, first of all, I'm visiting every school in the district, listening to teachers. I want to hear what they have to say about what they think is needed, really needed to make a difference, and what they're missing, you know, what they feel about what we're doing here. And then to look at those practices, best practices that will make a difference in the achievement gap. I think we're missing some pieces. You know, kids need to be engaged in school. We need to find a way to help them be engaged, whether it's, I look at the technology piece, it's certainly a big one. If we don't have that means in our school, every student, in my opinion, ought to have a laptop in their backpack or certainly on every desk so that they can take notes, they can be engaged in the internet, they can deal with the issues at hand. And I know that Minnetonka and some of the other districts have really presented some really good ideas here about how to do that effectively. Professional development for teachers to help them to become even more up to speed with what are the most best practices. And that's another issue.
I know that I've been contacted about bullying, and that is another issue that I think is really important. We need to help students to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel wanted in these classrooms. And our small schools or schools within schools, the way to go, there are so many issues about what people think will be effective to help students to raise the bar for achievement gap. And we need to be looking at the research around those issues. And last but not least, in my research, I'm looking at mobility. How do we deal with that mobility issue, which is so prevalent in our district? Because we know that if students stay in the district for a full year, they do make gains, they do achieve. But when they're moving two or three schools every year, it's really detrimental. So I think there are some things that we can do, and I would like to at least, I think, you know, certainly money is going to be important, but I think this is a year for good policy and to really be looking at what can we do to be more effective as a school system in this state.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. I've had the privilege of sitting next to you on the House floor and I look forward to continuing learning a lot from you. You've got a wealth of experience in very different settings and so forth. Lena, Representative Farrell, I'm going to skip over you. Sorry. What I want is for you and Representative Gramling to kind of go last because your committee chairs of very important finance committees, and so, you know, perhaps what you guys can do is just sort of pull together some of the things that you're hearing in terms of your expectations as well.
Representative Gramling has to leave fairly soon, so you should make her go right away.
Oh, how soon do you need to leave?
I had a 9 o'clock with speaker, and she isn't there, so whenever she gets here, I'll be coming, I guess.
Well, why don't we try Representative Obermuller, and then we'll see where we're at.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mike Obermuller. I represent Egan, President Egan, District 38B. We have three school districts that we touch in ours. The primary, size-wise, is District 196 in Springville, or excuse me, Egan, Rosemount, and Apple Valley, combined area there. We also have two streets that head up into Inver Grove Heights and the Middle Heights, and one little neighborhood that sticks over into the Burnsville Egan School District as well. And those three districts have, they're kind of a contrast, studying contrast and the various things that come up in school districts. Some districts have had easy times passing levies, others have had difficult times passing levies. That transition in superintendent in one, and now with stability in others, and now we're seeing some more switch over there. So it's fun to see the differences, but it's also makes me understand why it's so important to have consistency coming out of this body so that those groups can really make their jobs easier. My primary focus will be on making sure that we kind of on the front end and the back end of the school experience, the K-12 experience, making sure that we don't lose ground. I'll put the bill before me talk about our early childhood education efforts, but it doesn't do us a lot of good if we make all that effort to get ready to come into kindergarten and then they lose ground over the next 3 or 4 years. So we've got to make sure we're focusing on keeping the ground we're gaining there. And then making high school more effective and efficient for people, for kids. For some kids, that means shortening up the experience by, college and schools or advanced placement classes so they're ready to move on. For some kids, it means making sure they're ready to work, head straight out of high school into work. And we've got to make sure we make that experience good for all those kids.
Wonderful. Thank you. Look forward to working with you and getting to know you, Representative Obermuller. Representative Gramling, I probably should just go ahead and jump.
No,
is that okay?
We do.
I care, but yeah. we can put that to a vote.
I'll go. My history, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm very pleased to be on this committee as well. My history, I always like to go after Representative Dietrich because I can skip it then. I also was a teacher, activist, parent, PTA president, school board member, and then legislator focusing on education. And I have entering suburban districts, all Association of Metropolitan School Districts, and I work very closely with Representative Mariani. We sit next to each other on the floor, and I'm happy to hear a lot of finance suggestions in the room here as well as policy suggestions, and they overlap, and both committees do both. And that's why we coordinate very closely together so that the policy is considered, and then we figure out how to pay for it. And then they need to go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. And hence, my priorities for this district, or for this committee, are the policy that needs to lead the new Minnesota miracle. We need to make sure we have a good vision for our students. The goal of that bill is to make sure all students graduate ready for success, whether it's college or university, technical school, or ready to go to a good job without needing remediation at any of those levels. And then PS Minnesota did us the favor of costing out what does that cost for every type of student and every type of district all across the state. And we need to make sure we have all the reform and policies in place to make that successful. My favorite part of that bill is the innovation revenue, and in order to make that work, which would be 5% of the new money, whatever new money we're talking about this year, is tied to the new school report card that Representative Loon mentioned, making sure it's value-added and that it's measuring not just one point-in-time test, but growth and the other measures that Representative Briner worked on so hard last year. So that's my top policy priority, but I also share with others that have been mentioned, like looking at the grad standard and making sure we don't have massive failures in the short term for the harder math tests that we have and other issues like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bradley. And, of course, one of the things that we'll be sort of jumping ahead, we'll be doing early in the course of our session because, again, for the first timers, we have deadlines that happen here on our calendar, and we're the first deadline. So all the policy committees need to push out their legislation earlier than the finance committees. And the logic there, of course, is that much of that winds up being folded up into finance omnibus bills. And so a good chunk of what, I suspect a good chunk of what we'll be forwarding for the full legislature will be following a pathway into Representative Greiling's committee for consideration of folding into that omnibus bill, forming the policy components and some of the other supportive components for their finance decisions. So we'll be meeting rather frenetically earlier in the session, and then later on we'll have a little bit more time. All of these serve on finance committees, and so you'll be able to focus more of your energy on those at that time. But it does require some very close coordination between Representative Greiling and Representative Slawich's committee in this committee to make sure that the policy components are there to be supportive of their initiatives in the fiscal world. And the only other thing I guess to say on that is I was hopeful that we would have had close to 100% overlap between our committees. We don't have close to 100% overlap to our committees, and that's fine. I think what that really means is that as policy members of the policy committee, we're probably going to have to be ever more diligent in terms of communicating with our colleagues on the finance committee, so that they're fully aware and informed of the deliberations that you've had here in terms of the policy ramifications of the bills that they'll be then stewarding through their omnibus bills. So, anyway, if this works best, if we work well together, and I'm pleased to say that the three chairs here, I think, have a pretty good history, very good history of working very, very well together. So, you know, perhaps since we did jump to Representative Greiling, Representative Flowers, why don't we just, keep the loop going here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I really liked that half hour. I made it on time, Congratulations. I mean, my kids go to school at 7 in the morning. I can't even tell you that. This year, they both get on the bus at 7.
Wow.
Phenomenal. But then I stopped and had coffee. So I said, if I can't leave the house at 8, I won't have coffee. So I said, no coffee today.
Ooh.
And I was not broken. So, anyway.
And I have a quarter coffee for today.
Well, so you'll know if I'm grouchy on certain days, I got out of the house later. But otherwise, I was pleasure to be on the screen and glad to be collaborating on education. My district is Maplewood, Oakdale. I have 3M's International Headquarters. That's the most well-known landmark in terms of my district, and I have one school district as well, North St. Paul Maplewood Oakdale, so I feel lucky about that. Mostly on this committee, I've been working on early ed. Last year, early ed policy was part of this committee, and now it's been pulled into, we have finance and policy, although you will see there's a lot of overlap, so it's sort of inevitable we'll be talking about some of the early ed type issues. I know that Representative Greiling and Representative Mariano are going to be on my committee this year, and Representative Candy Peterson didn't mention to co-chair the Early Childhood Caucus. Yeah, and she'll be on there, and I think Representative Norris, Representative Downey, I don't know if there's anybody else that's on there, and Representative Demmer co-chair the Early Childhood Caucus as well, which is a group of about 140 members on a bipartisan, bicameral basis that work on early childhood issues. I'd say that the big issues that we're looking at and hoping to coordinate with you are, one, quality, and quality matters. So we're trying to increase the quality, especially in child care. Early is an interesting committee because we're half health and human services, half education. Our bill splits, and it winds up joining with Mindy's bill and then joining with Tom Huntley's bill. But we're very much going to work on a quality rating system and trying to close the achievement gap. That's one of our big goals. Also, we're one of our goals in early childhood that overlaps this committee's collaboration. The governor just appointed the Early Childhood Advisory Council, so you might want to take a look at the membership. They may have some members of your committee. I can send that out as well. But they're going to start meeting about early childhood policies. We also have work closely with business community, and they're coming up with a business plan on early childhood. So we're kind of gearing up. We probably will do our Vision Zero bill next year is what we're looking at. Sort of how Mindy's done and her committee's done the work and Carlos on the Minnesota Miracle. We're looking a little bit farther down because of economics right now, waiting a little bit to do that. And then our other priority, which is probably the same here, is holding the line and hopefully having no cuts. In early childhood, we hear we're good on this side. We always have the two sides to deal with, but the child care side it potentially could have some cuts. So for us, it's really important to look at not going backwards, because kids, whether they're in ECFE or they're in Head Start or they're in a preschool or they're at home or wherever they are, they're getting an education. And they also are getting it in child care. And that's the thing we have to remember, is all kids in these programs are moving towards the system. So we want to make sure that they're prepared the best we can. So I look forward to being on the committee. I also teach early childhood public policy for the University of Minnesota in the fall, and work with graduate students both from the early childhood program at the university as well as from the Humphrey Institute. So kind of steeped in it from a policy perspective, but anxious to put it into action and hoping we can do all this year. Mr. Chair, I look forward to working with you closely on that as well, and having you all on the committee. I think it's going to help a lot.
We appreciate your leadership on these important issues. So.
Thank you.
Representative Norton.
Kim Norton, I represent Rochester, which, yes, I shouldn't make the grand announcement. We're the third largest city and the fourth largest school district.
It seems to be
important here.
I have to
write some down. In the state, we do have a growing diverse population, and therein lies some of my interests. To step back a little bit, I have a background in education, early childhood, special ed, community development, and also served on our school board for 8 years, a year as chair, local PTA, state PTA president, national PTA board of directors for years. I just stepped off this year. So I do, along with most of the people around the table, have a long and strong background in education. In the areas that might be of interest to me, I think I have an interest in studying immigration aid policy. I think as policies were written a number of years ago, times have changed, and we need to make sure that the policies are still adequate and that we don't get too tied to a model that is no longer appropriate. So I'm interested in looking at immigration aid, perhaps providing flexibility for school districts in its use. I'm also interested in what the state should do with racially isolated schools and have some thoughts and ideas on that. I come from a data-driven district that's big into quality, so Representative Demmer just disappeared, but I know he has been working in that area, and I'd be interested to see what he's doing. We've done this little subcommittee. I haven't served on education since I got into legislature, so this is getting back into something that I love. But I did serve on a subcommittee with Representative Briner, so I'm interested in the report card and the growth model, and hopefully we can move forward on that. Unfunded mandate. I heard many of the issues that were on my list have been mentioned. Again, perhaps in these tough economic times, looking at staff development, some flexibility there. And I also, I think I'll just add, I also have an interest in perhaps some review of oversight, review of charter schools. So
Look forward to working with you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Corey Kath, a freshman to this committee as well as to the legislature, and I'm honored to represent District 26A. 26A comprises Owatonna, the cities of Owatonna and Waseca, as well as many townships. For the most part, the students within my district go to Owatonna Public Schools as well as Waseca Public Schools, but there are some outlying townships that would also have some rural districts as well. So I would definitely have a smidgen of probably about four or five other school districts within that. Myself, I am an educator. I've been a teacher for 9 years at Owatonna High School, teaching political science and economics, as well as advanced placement political science and microeconomics. And it's been an honor to educate our youth, and specifically look at the structure of what does it take to provide a quality education. For me right now, I think you're going to see I'm very classroom-driven, and something that I think is very important. So I want to echo what Representative Dietrich said, and that is that we need to make sure all of our students are prepared and prepared for a post-secondary education, because I think that we have to be very honest with ourselves that everybody's going to need a post-secondary education for the job market that we're entering into. So most of what I will be concerned with is within that capacity and closing the achievement gap that we see within that realm. First and foremost, I think to be able to do that and to accomplish that well, we have to look at a 6 to 8 year plan. No longer can we see high school as an ending, and that diploma means something other than the fact that, you know what, this is a new beginning for us, and where are you going to head from here? So I want to look at and examine how we can create a better cooperation or partnership with our post-secondary institutions and make sure that we are preparing students for the future on a grander scale. Second area is teacher retention and training. Very, very concerned with that. I want to see more professional learning communities within our school district. Want to see more mentoring programs that are going to help teachers become stronger, better teachers. Not met a student yet who was motivated by a multiple choice exam. It's that motivation of the teachers that are in their classroom that are doing something for them and helping them to become better learners, lifelong learners, and something that I'm very concerned with. And finally, one that I haven't heard around here yet is one that I've done some graduate studies on, and that is emotional intelligence. With so much standard-driven content that we've got right now, and specifically how concerned we are with the background on content, we also have to make sure that we're looking at the soft skills and the emotional intelligence of our students. And specifically, are they able to become engaged in society, and specifically for the rigors of the world outside of those four walls of the classroom, on a level of being able to contribute to society in a way that's going to not just be about content, but about structure, family planning, about content and structure within their family structure that way. But also then to say that these individuals need to make sure that they have the success standards that are there in ethical decision making and able to then relate to peers. And so I'm really excited to work on some of those standards, as well as to look at then how I can function within each of you and the expertise that you bring to this. And so I'm honored to serve as your vice chair and look forward to that.
And Cass will be our vice chair this year, so look forward to being able to do a collective leadership here of the committee's work, along with Representative McFarland, who's our lead GOP member as well. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a great privilege for me to be able to serve again. I get to serve with two, this is the buttering up part now, Mr. Chair, two great chairs, both Representative Mariani and Chair Grant. And I came to legislation mostly because of the issues relating to education, having spent my career in the classroom and the Edina schools, but living in Minnetonka. And before I go any further here, I just want to show you all the contacts I have in this organization, in this group. Mr. Downey, for example, his father, Art, was a fantastic teacher. And if I may say again, as we did, as I found out the other night, Art Downey has been Edina's swimming coach, and he's now finishing up pretty soon finish up his 54th year of coaching. So it's going to be really fun to serve on this committee with Representative Downey, although I do have a problem with it because
is way too young and I'm way too old to both be serving on this committee together. Connie, too, I actually kind of represented you in a way last time because I represent three school districts, the Hopkins District, the Wayzata District, and the Minnetonka District. And so I suspect she and I will have many things in common as we try to move the programs that our school districts find important. And by the way, if I may put in a little plug, I'm carrying some of the water for the Metropolitan School Boards Association on Location Equity Index and lifting caps and those kinds of issues. And I have four bills sitting up by room 517, so anyone who is interested in supporting any of those, please keep that in mind. Also, Lisa Larson and I have a connection. At Edina High School, her mother, Sonia Fogelman, was one of the greatest language arts teachers in the Edina schools, and I learned a lot from your mom. I had a language arts major as well, and suffered. I had my students suffer through courses with me, and listening to Representative Swales and all the essays. I also taught advanced placement, government politics, economics, and American history, and often took home at least 100, sometimes 200 papers, essays, because I made my kids write essays all the time. So my condolences to you and congratulations for getting all those done in return. Also have a little contact with Representative Peterson because she was president of the MFT when I was local union president in Edina Schools, and she came out and helped me on a couple of occasions. And so we've known each other for a while as well. So I have two kind of long-term objectives, reasons for being here. One of them is this issue of teacher development that was mentioned before. I was a constant rebel, in a sense, in my district. I think the administration found me difficult because the structure in which teachers operate, I feel, is no longer relevant to the present age. We're still sitting in kind of a factory model, is what I call it. And when people wonder why teachers are leaving 50% within 3-4 years, I think that is a major part of it. Everyone talks about the pay, and of course that was not a problem for me since I taught in Edina, but for most people it is. But this other issue having to do with allowing teachers to actually be professionals, is a really key issue. And so I've been contacting and working a little bit with a group called Education Evolving. Some of you may have heard of that group. And there will be some legislation presented sometime along here, which I'm strongly in favor of moving that. My other long-term objective is I'd like to see the end of school districts having to run operating levies. I think this is just an outrage, and the whole notion that that cities and counties can find additional resources and school districts have to go hat in hand all the time, begging even to keep up with the cost of living, I find unacceptable, and I'd like to see that change. So there are other things as well. Oh, and Representative Brainerd, too, because I went to Mankato for my undergraduate, so thank you for having a good college down there. So thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I hope I can make a contribution.
It was a privilege working with you, Representative Benson, getting to know you, and it's pretty clear Representative Benson will be the glue that binds us all together here. So, Representative Brainerd, welcome. I feel like you've always been a member of this committee, but now officially you are.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll say I am a freshman to this committee, and I'm thrilled to be here. And this is my first experience coming onto a committee that I actually have a long knowledge base and historical activity to enter into, which is interesting in itself in terms of how the legislature works. And I'll say, well, I have a lot of background in education, and I'll speak to that in a minute. My degrees are in philosophy, and I think I've had a strong commitment to a liberal background, liberal in an educational sense, not political sense.
You have to be cautious about how you use words in this institution, as in all institutions. I think the speaker was testing me as a freshman when I was put not on any K-12 education committees, even though I'd been working on K-12 for 30 years in my life. I was on environment, energy, mental health, higher ed. I did get, anyway, I found all my educational experience and strategies totally taxed in my first session as a freshman. So now, at least I feel I bring a knowledge base to a committee. And not that I've enjoyed all those other committees, and I think you'll all find among the freshman legislators here, that is part of what being a legislator is knowing how to be a generalist. You do really need to know how to learn new skills quickly, listen in areas you haven't understood before, develop a quick kind of playbook perspective on all kinds of issues, you know, that you haven't had background in. But so anyway, I'm thrilled to be here and looking forward to this. And I'll say, when I read Representative Mariani's welcome, after his three paragraphs elucidating issues, he said he would like us to bring one or two policy issues to the table today. And I laughed about that, Carlos. But if I had to crystallize one issue that that's really important to me, and I'm not going to say the report card. I'll come back to the report card. I'm going to say student achievement. I come out of, I served on a school board for 12 years. I've been active as a citizen in school districts for 20 years. I have one school district also, Mankato Area Public Schools. In fact, my school district is larger than my legislative district, so that was an interesting perspective to me to move from being a school board member down to being representing my legislative district. But our district has a very active legislative committee that's been involved at both the federal and the state level in advocating policy from our district's perspective. So I'll bring a lot of those issues to the table, but as a board, we were research-based, data-driven, and that's a perspective I bring to this committee. I believe all policy should be research-based, data-driven, and those are the kinds of questions I like to ask about issues and the kinds of perspective I like to see brought to the table on any bill coming before the legislature. What does the research say? What is the data? What do we know from a data perspective? And that's how I got into the report card business. That was an issue on my district legislative platform for many years. The five-star aspect with we started in a very small manner, but removing the five stars from the report card simply because they created quite a bit of inequity in reporting. As many of us know, we had districts of very schools of very similar quality that were at the two-star level and the five-star level. I'm not going to get into that extensively. We'll talk more about the growth model next week. But we have there is a growth model that exists on the website, the Department of Education website now. So our state has a growth model. We'll talk about that and what we have, what that data can tell us now. And there is still some, I think, perspectives that this policy committee needs to take with regard to that model. And what role it will serve in the whole accountability picture. There are other elements of the report card that remain under discussion. One of them links to Representative Taft's interest in emotional intelligence, and that's the student engagement portion of the report card that we moved forward last week. In the last 2 years, we worked quite a bit on that. I think that there's a lot more work that needs to be done in this arena, partly because there's a lack of education among many of our interest groups about how measures like emotional intelligence and engagement can actually have a quantitative data-driven component. So my first effort here is the educational piece, but I do think that we need to move forward the rigorous course completion measure and the student engagement measure that did not get advanced in the last legislative session as our policy bill was vetoed. I have an interest in lots of other policies. I'm going to let it go at that. I'm really excited to work with everyone and share our expertise and our commitment to students.
Thank you.
good to have you officially on board. And another member who was first time to this committee, but felt like he was a committee member last term as well, because he was carrying some pretty heavy water dealing with special ed issues, in particular, is Representative Falk.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent District 8B, which is all of Kanabec County, southern half of Pine County, and a little bit of Isandy County, includes the city's main city, Lemoore, and Pine City. I represent parts over all of 11 different school districts. I think I caught them all. And the big issues that I'm looking at this year, since schools are probably not going to get a big increase in funding this year, I'm looking at finding mandates that really don't add any value or don't do any good anymore. I've got a list of 30 to 40 of them from a former special ed district administrator, and another list of 20 to 30 from some superintendents of mandates that I think we're going to try to get rid of, at least we're going to attempt to. And these are mandates that, like I say, for the most part, really don't add any value, really don't serve much of a purpose other than to create paperwork and slow things down. So that's probably my biggest issue this year for this committee.
Well, I look forward to working with you on that. That'll be a big issue discuss. And then, Representative Riley is still here. Or perhaps you left and came back. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jerry Newton. I represent District 49B, which is primarily Coon Rapids and a little bit of Andover, the seat that Kathy Tingle said formerly had. I represent District 11, which happens to be the largest district in the state. Some 10 years ago, I ran against Mr. Abler and thought he was evil at the time. Not really. We've become very good friends over the years and have worked closely together on school issues. I've served for the last 8 years on the Anoka Hennepin School Board. Several of those years with Representative Dietrich, and then with her also on the parent legislative team for Anoka Hennepin. And my history with working with education goes back actually to 1968 when I chaired my first PTO meeting. I've been a president of Montessori School. I've been really involved with kids in education. And part of my history is that I've spent 17 years overseas and had my kids in schools. And they've been in French schools, Belgian schools, Turkey schools, Pakistani schools, just a variety of looking at how things are done differently in other countries. Has given me some good perspective on education, I think, that we don't always see here. A couple of years ago, I worked with Representative Tinkelstedt, and we did the state anti-bullying policy, which was so watered down that it says nothing. So I'd like to tighten that up and also look at cyberbullying. We just did a policy in District 11 on cyberbullying and add that to it as well. But most of what I have has already been covered. One thing that you've mentioned, Representative Benson, is giving the school districts more flexibility when it comes to levies and letting them be able to levy without having to go to the voters. One of the places I'd like to start with that is on the where kids have to cross hazardous areas to get to school. In our area, and I know a lot of the rural areas, that's really a big issue. You know, we've got kids crossing major highways or having to walk on highways. The district should be able to go out and levy for that, the funding for that, to make sure we get kids to school safely. And that's part of my big issue, I guess, is making sure that kids are safe. If they're safe in school, they're going to do better in school. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And welcome to you, Representative Newton. You have big shoes to fill with Representative Tingle.
Yes, I know. She gave me a pile of work. I might add, it's not official yet, but she's going to take my place on the school board for Anoka Hennepin, the largest school district.
Oh, that's
Mr. Chair, I just want to add that I have three school districts. They're all just right-sized school districts.
I thought you were going to show some kind of connection with us.
I do have.
Mr. Senator Farland, you get our last word.
Yes, and I'm sorry. I apologize.
Not at all. It's good to have you. I was really pleased to hear that you were named our lead Republican member of this committee. And because you and I have served on the Finance Committee together, right. And we even did some off-session or off-campus together this summer.
Was yes, we did at the university.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I was just delighted to hear a wonderful policy focused person that will be our lead Republican here, and I think we're going to do some good work together.
Thank you. I look forward to it. I'm Carol McFarland. I'm the representative that represents White Bear and Mountview School District. And I have a long history of being a parent volunteer in our district, 28 years, starting out, even when my children started early childhood in 1980, which goes back quite a while. Now I have, my children are all grown up, and I have three grandchildren that are in the White Bear schools now, two of them being in elementary and one being in early childhood, so I have a real soft spot for early childhood. I became the a member of the White Bear School Board in 2000 it was, until I came here to the legislature. And before that, I had been president of the Intermediate School 916 Foundation Board, so I learned a lot about our intermediate school districts, which I think are really one of our prime examples of shared services in the state and a great way to have more efficiency. I also come from a business background. My husband and I own a small business, and I understand that education is our state's most essential economic development tool, and that we have to continue to bring the business community into our conversations. And also, I've been serving on the K-12 Finance and Higher Ed and Workforce Development Committees, and I think we need to have a better bond between those two. The communication doesn't seem to be happening. I hear a lot of talk but no action, and I am an action-oriented person. So I would really like to see more partnership in that area.
Wonderful. Mr. Bemmer stepped out. He was on the committee last session, a very able and big committee member, and look forward to working with him again.
He had a good radio show.
Yeah, he had a radio show.
We'll have him do an hour-long presentation at the next meeting. I'm told that the youth and government program is going to be using this room in a few minutes, so I'm going to skip my 45-minute diatribe that I was going to share with you and do that next. We will meet again next Tuesday, and basically what we'll be doing on Tuesday is hearing from individuals who have been involved in some of the interim work. We've had quite a few official meetings having to do with charter school reform issues. We want to hear about the evolution of the growth model, which there is a growth model now being implemented, and Representative Reiner will be sharing a little bit of that. Seems to me there was one other. Oh yes, and how can I forget the emerging grad high stakes test issue. Will certainly dominate our early policy discussions. I think Representative Loon, you mentioned, you made reference to that appropriately. So we've got some challenges here in terms of trying to address and head off some, in my opinion, some impending disaster related to that implementation of that high stakes test. There have been groups of people meeting along with the executive branch to discuss possibilities of dealing with that. So we'll hear a report. I think we're going to Dietrich. You'll be right. Yeah, maybe. We'll talk. Leading us in the initial discussion. You have in your packets the principles and procedures. They're pretty stuff. Explanatory. I think for those who have served in the past, you'll find that I think we're very flexible committee. We really work awfully hard, I think, to keep the partisan nature, which is an obvious part of any legislature, to keep the partisanship to a minimum. I think that's that best behooves particularly K-12 policy.
And so that means I think there's a lot of very respectful, inclusive engagements and consideration that we follow here in the committee. And trying to think what else. I think that's probably it. We will be spending the first, probably even the first couple of weeks, frankly, doing a lot of just very, you know, background informational sessions. We'll be hearing from the department a number of important policy issues. We'll bring in some citizens, professional experts to talk about a number of the issues that many of you have identified. I, in particular, would like to have a little bit more discussion around the achievement gap, the racial inequity, and outcomes issues, which increasingly all our districts are struggling with, and there may be a couple of other issues as well that we'll do some. Oh, I want to make sure we do some good vetting, sort of a primer again about our state accountability system, our standardized testing approaches, and hear from members, but also from practitioners in terms of how that plays out in the practice of K-12 education, and to do some quick vetting of possible alternatives and evolution possibilities in our state for accountability and standards evaluation system. So we'll be doing that for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll start hearing bills shortly afterwards. If you are working on bills, I would strongly encourage you to let Christina know. Even if you don't have the bill put together yet or introduced, let her know, because we'll be lining up those bills in the calendar. And I also strongly encourage you to submit those bills for introduction as quickly as possible. Be mindful that we are the policy committee. Do have those early committee deadlines, and invariably that means we wind up, unfortunately, having tons of meetings just before the policy deadline. And so, we can minimize that sort of stress by getting those bills introduced early and lined up early. That'd be greatly help. That would greatly help the process here. So, members, thank you again for your punctuality. Look forward to working with all of you. We'll see you on Tuesday morning at 8:30. This meeting is now adjourned.
Thanks for the snack.